Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our verses for today are from Paul's letter, his second letter to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not me only, but also all who have loved his appearing. These are God's words. Please be seated. Dear people loved by God in Christ, I don't know about you, but I have a little bit of a hard time relating to the Apostle Paul. When you read through the book of Acts and see what his life was like, how bold he was as God sent him from country to country to proclaim the name of Christ, and you see how he would not stop proclaiming that name, even if people threatened him, if they rejected him, if they had him beaten, thrown in prison, and even had several attempts on his life. I've never had those things happen to me. It's hard to relate to that. I don't think any of you, I hope that none of you, have had that happen to you either. Yet there is something that we can relate to with the Apostle Paul, and that is that we have the same goal, the goal of life in heaven. We also have challenges that try to keep us from that goal that we also experience, like Paul did. The first thing he wrote about in our verses is said, I am already being poured out like a drink offering. It's his way of saying, I'm about to die. He was going to be executed, as far as we understand, by the Roman government for preaching Christ. You know, we have not committed some crime so horrendous that the state would be seeking the death penalty against us, but we are all sinners. We have fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is still death. Death is a very powerful force. Think of a snake all coiled up, a venomous one. It's ready to strike, but not quite yet. Well, that's really what all of our lives are like. We don't know when death will strike, but we know that at some time, it's going to happen to all of us. Death is like a dark passage, and by nature, we do not willingly want to walk down that path. It just seems to our thinking, it's just the opposite of the goal of eternal life. Paul also described his life as a struggle. He said, I have fought the good fight. Now, normally, again, most people that would hear that say, well, this must be a boxing match, two heavyweights just coming at it, right? Well, more at Paul's time, it might be a wrestling match, like the Olympic Games that they had, where they would use their strength and struggle against someone else to try to get their opponent down. Our faith is vulnerable. Someone's trying to get us down. The devil wants us to forget God's warnings, and we have a sinful nature also that's constantly fighting against us. Paul wrote, I fail to do the good I want to do. Instead, the evil I do not want to do, that is what I keep doing. What a wretched man I am. So you have this constant struggle going on between our Christian faith and our old nature. And that struggle continues. And again, if that were not enough, Satan's always trying to tempt us. Peter described him as a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so, yes, our faith is vulnerable. The devil wants us to forget how many wonderful blessings Christ has won for us. Instead, also to forget the wages of sin and all the judgment that's going to follow on top of that. He wants to turn us away from God's word and the sacraments to harmful sins that are going to trap us, that are going to keep us from repenting and receiving the gift that Christ won for us. He will use anything. He'll use problems on one side. He'll use pleasures on another to keep us away from that saving word. So that his goal is that we miss our goal of eternal life in heaven. Only in Christ can we reach that goal. We share that with the Apostle Paul too, a common Savior. Martin Luther wrote, "With might of ours cannot be done. Soon were our loss effected, but for us fights the valiant one whom God himself elected." God's Son, Jesus, our Savior, willingly gave his life for us. He experienced death in all its fullness. But more than that, he did pay the wages of sin with his death. But he also suffered the torments of hell that we deserve as he hung on the cross. By his innocent suffering and death, he conquered death. And God raised him from the dead to proclaim to the whole world that this forgiveness and life is for all. By God's grace, as Paul heard those words, he came to faith in Jesus. He received Christ's victory, that moment of faith. And thank God, we too have heard that faith and have believed in Christ so that we are also saved from that judgment. This gives us a completely different outlook on life and death as well. I'm sure that you've all been asked the question, what do you want to do in life? And some of you have this major and some have another, and it may change as time goes by, even no matter what your major is. But you all have one goal that you want to keep in mind, and that is the goal of eternal life in heaven. At the end of our lives, we want to say with the Apostle Paul, I have finished the race. It's not like you have to come in first. You just need to finish. But Paul, in his ministry, saw so many people who believed for a time and then fell away. He does not want that for any of us. The Bible can make us certain that maintaining our faith through the strength of Christ, that we can stand against sin and the devil, is worth it all. Paul called death the time of his departure. It was like he thought of death as a ship. He just got on board and it was going to take him from this world of evil to paradise. I mean, what a beautiful picture, this time of departure. He wrote to the Philippians, "I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far." Through our Savior, we too will experience the joys of heaven. Again, listen to how the Apostle Paul pictured it in our verses. "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Well, the minute we hear crown, we think of royalty. Someone's got this crown upon their head. Not what Paul's talking about. He actually is describing, there's two words in the Greek for that. The one he's describing is a wreath that was put on the head. And in the Olympic Games, when at his time, when someone won the championship, they got a wreath. It was a way of honoring them, probably higher than the royalty that were there. They just had so much esteem for the people who had won that wreath. But God gives us an even higher honor. It is the wreath of righteousness. It is the very holy life of Jesus that we receive through faith in him. It is a wonder. It's like all of a sudden we get called up to Washington, D.C., and they say, "We want to give you the Medal of Honor." We say, "We didn't do anything." No, Christ did. But you are awarded that Medal of Honor. That is what we will share, that wonderful honor and glory, what we will share in heaven with Jesus. And of course, at Jesus' return, our bodies will be raised. They will be made glorious and new. And Jesus will create a new world for us, a perfect place, a paradise. And we will live with him in that honor forever. What a contrast. God's gift of eternal life and eternal judgment that we deserve. We pray that God will always help us to keep our eyes on the goal of life in heaven. Though we will experience evil in the world, just like the Apostle Paul, it makes us long for Jesus appearing all the more. And may Paul's concluding words also be ours. This is what he wrote at the end of his letter to Timothy. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever. Amen.